Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai Parshas V'zos HaBracha. So Rabbeinu B'chai begins off with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, talking about Eishes Chayil, which is how, you know, this is V'zos HaBracha at the end of the Torah. So he's bringing the Pasuk from the end of Mishlei, Eishes Chayil, which is at the end of Mishlei, and it says, Tenula Mipriyateha V'haleluha V'asher Ma'aseha. So it's talking about the Eishes Chayil, right? The woman that's supposed to be praised. So it says, give her the fruits of her labor, and they will praise her in the gates with her actions. So Rabbeinu B'chai says, just generally speaking, this whole Eishes Chayil is telling you the a person, Derech Musar, that a person should marry a good woman, right? Not, you shouldn't marry for other reasons. You should marry for a good woman, because a holy lady, a lady with good midos, and a Yerei Shemayim, so she is the Yesod HaBayis. And it says the reason why Eishes Chayil has the whole Aleph Beis is to tell you that if you have a Isha with a lady with good midos, that's Kolelas Kol HaTorah. Why? Because if a woman has, if a man marries a lady who is, has a house of Torah near Shemayim, where the house can grow and the husband can grow in his Torah, so that it's similar to, like he says, like the guf is a hachana lenefesh. So too, an Eishes Chayil is a hachana for the hatzlacha of the and the Torah mitzvos in the house, because it allows the person to grow in Torah and avoda. So that's why it's so important to have a Eishes Chayil, a holy wife. And he also brings the Medrash that many of us are also familiar with, that the whole Eishes Chayil doesn't refer to a woman and a man in the literal sense, but rather to the Eishes Chayil is referring to the Torah, and the husband is the person who learns the Torah. So it's saying that Batach Lev Bala, right, her husband, the Metz means the person who learns Torah can trust in it. And when it talks there, you know, when you're going with the simple pshat where it's talking about a lady, so it says that she gives money to the poor and she, you know, organizes the whole house and keeps it running. You know, and so that's giving money to the poor sounds like giving money to the poor. If you say it's referring to the Torah, so then the poor are the people who don't know the Torah. In other words, the Talmidim. So that she gives to the poor also. In other words, the poor can take from her too until they grow rich through studying the Torah. And then Al Pi Kabbalah, it seems like it's referring to Hashem, or Amid of Hashem, again, I'm not a Kabbalist, but the Kabbalah part is how it segues into the Parsha, because when it says, Tenula Mipriyadeha, means to give to God, it seems, it means give bracha. What does it mean to give bracha? Like it says, Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem Haluka. We know the Chazal, we have in Gemara, is Bracheni, there's an Indian to bless Hashem. What in the world does that mean? The simple understanding of it is very hard to understand. What does it mean to bless Hashem? I don't have any independent power. It's Hashem who gives brachas. How can I bless Hashem? Why is it always Barcheni? Hashem asks us to bless him. So he says it's the same thing like Birkas Kohanim. According to Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara in Chulin as a machlokas, how the Kohanim who give the bracha get a bracha themselves, right? The Kohanim, they duchen, they bless the Jewish people. How do they get blessed? So one way to understand that, Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara in Chulin says that it says Vaniyah Varchem means Hashem blesses the Kohanim. The other version is that Vaniyah Varchem means that Hashem agrees to the Kohanim. So how do the Kohanim get blessed? In other words, if Vaniyah Varchem doesn't mean Hashem blesses the Kohanim, so how do the Kohanim get blessed? So it quotes the Pasuk, it's like by Avram, V'avarcha Avarchecha, those who bless you, Avram, I will bless, meaning the way the Kohanim who do the blessing get blessed is because HaMevarich Mizbarach. You bless Jews, you get blessed. It's the same thing. You bless Hashem, you get blessed. That's why Hashem is saying Barchini. You bless Hashem, you get blessed from Hashem. So that's Kol HaMevarich Mizbarach. So that's the point. We bless Hashem because this way we get blessing. And he says Bracha was given over from the time of Avram Avinu. Bracha was given over to Tzadikim, like it says by Avram Avinu. And therefore it's given over here to all the tzaddikim, and therefore to Moshe as well, and that's how we start V'zos HaBracha, Moshe blessing Kal Yisrael. As I said, that last part comes from the Kabbalah part, so you can look it up yourself. I'm not a Kabbalist, that's the way I understand it. Okay, next we have, it says, Af Chovei Vamim. What do those words mean? So he gives a a few pshatim, but just to say one, af chavev amim means sometimes the Jewish people are not called am. It's usually when we're not doing the right thing, we're called am. Bayachel ha'am liznos in benos moav, when we're not behaving properly, we're called am. So he gives a couple examples. So af chovev amim means even when we're not doing what Hashem wants, He still loves us. That's the af chovev amim, even when we're amim, Hashem still loves us. Okay, then we have Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kilas Yaakov, that the Torah was given to Yaakov, to the Jewish people. It's Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. So one version is obviously that the Morasha is the Torah is Kilas Yaakov. Another version is exactly what it sounds like. Oh, I'm sorry. The simple pshat is Morasha is the Torah is goes to Klal Yisrael. But the other way is the Morasha meaning Eretz Yisrael. That we're only Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kilas Yaakov. The reason we're Zochet to Eretz Yisrael is because of Zchus HaTorah. We know Chazal make a drasha that Morasha means Me'orasa, engaged. Morasha Kilas Yaakov means Me'orasa Kilas Yaakov. The Torah is betrothed to us. And he says, Al Derech HaKabbalah, that the Torah is Me'orasa to Yaakov. The Jewish people are called Yaakov, right? Me'orasa Kilas Yaakov. And who's Yaakov's wife? Rachel. So the Torah is also called Rachel. And he says, therefore, b'shas hakas, when there's a time of kas, and the Shekhinah is not with us, Rachel mevaka al baneha. So that's the Torah, would come out the Torah crying on us. And b'shas ratzon, it's Rachel eshes Yaakov. Okay, that's interesting. Fine. Then we have just a fascinating medrash he brings. It's absolutely fascinating. You probably could have to look up. He brings, this is on Vayhi Bishur and Melech, he brings this medrash that says, Habona bashamayim ma'alosa v'agudas al eretz yasta. So he builds his place in the heavens, and his aguda is on eretz. So the medrash says, this is a mashal to a palace that's built on top of ships. And as long as the ships are attached together, the palace stands. If the ships come apart, the palace falls. So therefore, Habona b'shamayim al Yosef, Emosai, when can you build this palace on top? That's kish Yisrael aguda achas, when the Yisrael are one aguda. But when we're not, when the Jewish people are not together, he writes, the Medrash writes, kaviyachol kiso mevusas lamayla. So the palace of Hashem only stands together when we're together. But otherwise, it's like Chas Shalom hurts the Kisei of Hashem. So Klal Yisrael being together helps Hashem's Malchus. Anyway, it says there next, Yichi Ruvein v'al Yamos. So what does it mean, Yichi Ruvein v'al Yamos? It means that he will not die, meaning he was somewhat forgiven for the Avera of Maisa Bilha, whatever that Avera was. As I'll say, if you say he did the Avera, it's Inu Elatoa, but it sounds like there was some kind, of Avera that he got a partial kapara for. So Yechi Reuven v'al Yamos means he's not cut off, like we know from the Pasuk back in Bereishis. It says, right, Vayishkav as Bila, he, his sons were 12 sons, meaning whatever the Avera was, he wasn't cut off. He's still one of the 12 tribes, and he got a partial kapara, but not a full kapara. Not a full kapara. This is also brought in the Ramban, but you know, in a shorter version. But he got a partial kapara. So where did he get punished for the Maisa Bilha? Ready for this? Remember the story about the Asura Haruge Malchus? So the king said, "Oh, you know, we got the shoes in the room," and said, "So you're all going to be. I have to kill the Asura Haruge Malchus because of what the 10 tribes did." And therefore, I have to kill the 10 tzaddikim, because they sold Yosef. So, how many people sold Yosef? Well, not Binyamin, and not Yosef. That leaves 10, right? But Reuven sold Yosef? Reuven wasn't there, remember? Reuven didn't sell Yosef. Reuven got back and looked in the pit and said, "Oh my gosh, what happened to Yosef?" "So you mean 10, it was 9. No. So this is when he got punished for for Maisa Bilha. That's what it says. He got punished by Maisa Bilha with the story of the Asura who moved Malchus. Okay, that's what he says. Again, it's in the Ramban too. And also, Yechiru Ruvin Baal Yumos also means he won't die a second death, meaning he won't have to come back as a Gilgal. Right. Okay, that's another hint to Gilgal. Okay, then we have Yehuda, and we say they're put next to each other, so we say, Hu Elamo Tivieno, Mi Garam Leruvin She Yoda Yehuda. It was a schus for Yehuda, he caused Reuven to be modus. Or Rabbeinu Ochai just points out, even though the story of Reuven's sin with Bilbua Yitzue Yaviv, that was way before Yehuda's sin and admittance and admitting. So but it must have been, he says, a Kabbalah in the Chazal that Reuven didn't admit. Reuven wasn't Moda until Yehuda was Moda, and then Reuven was Moda. All right. Anyway, then we have Lelevi Omar to Meshcha V'Recha Le'ish Chasidecha. So Agav, the Rabbeinu Chaim explains here the different levels of Nevuah and says a fascinating thing. There are four types of Nevuah. He says, a Baskol, Urim V'Tumim, Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah. In that order, according to Rabbeinu Chaim. That's the order from bottom up. Baskol, higher levels are Urim V'Tumim, higher levels Ruach HaKodesh, then Nevuah. Okay, so he says that it's called a Baskol, and it's not called a Benkol. And he's going to explain why that is. I'm not going to be able to fully explain it to you because part of it is Kabbalistic. But the other half, I could explain a couple other Ben Basses. He says there's a Binyan Av. We know when you're comparing to one Pasuk to another, you learn one thing from one Pasuk to another. It's a Binyan Av, not a Binyan Aim. When we talk about the way something's pronounced versus the way it's written, Yesh Aim Lemesoris, right? Mother, not father. So he says, basically, when you're talking about Torah Shebichsav, we talk about an Av, and male. We're talking about Av when we're talking about Torah Shebichsav. So there's a Binyan Av. When we're talking about Mesorah, here we have an Aim. We're not talking about the actual words of Hashem, then we talk about Aim, like Al Titosh Torah Simecha. We're talking about Mesorah, we talk about an Aim. So the Baskol, again, I can't fully explain to you the Baskol, because he says it was a Bas of the Kol, that's Vayishmes HaKol Midaberi Lov. I don't want to, I'm not a Kabbalist, I can't pretend to be. So I didn't fully understand why it had to be Baskol, not Ben Kol. But there's a Kabbalistic reason for it. I'll just read you the one line. He says, V'chein bekan baskol shiz kiru basvel ben muchrachaya. It has to be called a baskol. L'fi sha'kol hazeh ha-magil ozni ha-shomei. Because when you hear this baskol, the person who hears it, who nimshach meos ha-kol shekosev bo, it's coming from the kol that was said, V'yayim shema tishma, the kol ha-shem elokecha. Okay. I can't explain that further. And he gives also other reasons why it has to be called a baskol. Also Kabbalistic. And he says the Baskol was constantly heard by people in the Chachmei Talmud. They were always hearing Baskols. Urim V'Tumim, we know, that's the Kohen Gadol, right? And then there is Ruach HaKodesh, which is, he says the person gets kind of like a Nevuah, but it's not actual Nevuah, it's just words come to his mouth. He doesn't know where they're coming from. They're just coming. In other words, he feels it in his heart. He just knows that this is, and he says these words. He doesn't know where they're coming from. It's just based on what the Ruach HaKodesh puts in his mouth. Sounds similar to what the Beis Yosef had with the Magid. They used to talk through his mouth. Something like that. I'm not saying it's that, but something like that. And Nevuah is when the person falls to the floor, loses all control of their physical senses, and gets a Nevuah that way. He just mentions the Ramban has a different order. The Ramban has it, Baskol Urim V'Tumim, then Nevuah, then Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh being higher. Okay. Anyway, we said the Kohanim are called Ish Chasidecha, because Kahuna is from the Midah of Chesed. Since it's, I'm saying this on Sukkot now, in Hallel, we don't mention Kohanim. We say, we do mention Kohanim, we don't mention Levim, because Kohanim are from Midas of Chesed. So we say Yomruna Beis Aaron, but we don't say Beis HaLevi. Because in Halal, the Maral says we only want to talk about Chesed, we don't want to talk about Levi, which is Midas Adin. So here we're talking about the Kohanim, Tumecha V'Urecha Leish Chasidecha, because Kohanim come from Midas HaChesed, and with that they bless Klal Yisrael. Then we talk about, goes on later to talk about Yosef, and gives a lot of bracha to his land. And he brings a medrash that says the reason why Yosef got such a bracha in his land is because Adam Rishon, because he listened to Kol Ishto, the Adama was cursed, as opposed to Yosef, who didn't listen to the Eshes Adonav, so therefore he got special, wonderful land. Okay, then he says another fascinating thing. It says, Smach Zvulun B'tzeisacha V'Yisachar B'Ohalecha. He says, Yisachar, as I'm sure you noticed, has two samachs in it. So he says the reason that is because it's a remez to the two schars there are. Yisachar is the shevet that learns Torah, and this is the schar for the one who learns the Torah, and the schar for the one who supports the person learning the Torah. That's the two sins for the two schars. Schar for the person who is learning, and schar for the person who supports him. Okay. We have God. It says that Moshe, Vayarishas lo chelkas mechokik. So Moshe is buried in Shevet in the land of God, which is outside of Israel. And that's because, like the Rabbeinu Bechai said in other places, that Moshe was buried in Chutz La'aretz, so that when Tchiyas HaMesim comes and Moshe is revived, all of the Mesei Chutz La'aretz will have Tchiyas HaMesim b'schus Moshe, who was buried in Chutz La'aretz. But while he's on the topic, he says this fascinating thing that we know from the Ramban. It's a famous Ramban in Saras HaDibros, that mitzvahs asei come from like Ava, we could say Chesed. The Ramban says Ava, and the Los Asei comes from Yira, or we could say Midas Adin. So things that come from the Shem Yudke Vavke that would be connected to that is that side of Ava and Chesed and all that, Rachamim, whatever, and things connected to Elokim or Shem Adnos, those are the Los Asays. So he says this is merumas to the word Mechokik. Mechokik is Gematria 248, right? This 248 mitzvah asays. And that says, and that's connected to Shem Hashem, the large name, the Yudke Vavke. That's what it says later on in the Pasuk, Tzidkas Hashem Asah. That's a Shem Hashem. I believe that's what he means by that. Either way, that's connected to Shem Hashem. As opposed to Los Asays, you find with the Shem Adnos, as the Pasuk says in Daniel, Ado, you know, Ad Aleph Dalas, not, we say Hashem Shema, Hashem Slacha, Hashem Hakshiva, but it's the Shem Hashem written there is the Aleph Dalet each time. So in between those Adnos, there's Shema, Slacha, Hakshiva, Hashem Shema, Hashem Slacha, Hashem Hakshiva. So the first letters of Shema, Slacha, Hakshiva are Shin Samachay, that's the Losa says. Those are from Midas Adin. And then other pasuk we're familiar with, Ki Hashem Shavtenu, Hashem Mechokekenu, Hashem Malkenu, Hu Yoshienu. So Hashem Mechokekenu, the gematria of Mechokekenu is Ramach plus Samach Gimel, which is connected the Shem spelled out. Anyway, but he says, in general, you'll find anytime we talk about things being big, Rabbah, or Gadol, they're connected to the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Obviously, I don't know exactly, as I say again, not a Kabbalist, but it's just things to keep in mind. You're talking about the Kohen Gadol, that's because the Beis HaMikdash has to do with the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you have the Bayis HaGadol, the Kohen HaGadol, when you're dealing with the land, the river that runs through Israel, it's Anar HaGadol. And he says, anytime Chazal, you say the word Rabbah, they mean the same thing. It has to do with Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when we say Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach, we're talking about that name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yehi Shlomo Rabbah. And then here also, Kiddusha Rabbah, which we only call it during the day and not at night. The Ava Rabbah, which we only say in the day and not at night. These have to do with Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, as opposed, okay. And then Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, which is coming up in 2 days for me. Hoshana Rabbah is 26 days after the creation of the world. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. The world was created on Chaf Hei Elul, which makes Hoshana Rabbah day 26 of the creation of the world. All these things have connections to the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not interesting. Okay, then we have the Pasuk Chiyamecha Davecha. Davecha, he says, means flowing, like you would think, like from Aramaic. But I'm just pointing this out because he says you'll find throughout much of the Torah lots of Aramaic. Also, Miruvavos Kodesh, All kinds of words that are in Aramaic in the Torah, and he says that they're Aramaic, and that's why he says the Talmud is written in Hebrew and Aramaic, because Ravina Ravashi wanted to use the way of the Torah Shebichsav. So similar to that, they wrote the Torah Shebaal Peh in Aramaic and Hebrew. Obviously, it's the inverse; it's mostly Aramaic and not Hebrew. But anyway, that's what he says, which is a fascinating idea. And he says, Rabbeinu B'chayez, Lefitaiti, it has a shoresh, because the name of the shliach, the mem tes, right? That's an Aramaic name, and there's Hashem's name, which is Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, enough Kabbalah again. I'm getting to things that have nothing to do with. Okay, and then one of the last things he talks about here, when it talks about Yara Futal, he talks about Tchias HaMesim at length. And just to point out, I don't know if this is obvious to everyone, it certainly wasn't obvious to me, but because it says by Tchias HaMesim that the Rishayim and the Tzadikim will come back. That's a pasuk. The Tzadikim will come back to get Tzchar at Tchias HaMesim, and the Rishayim will come back to get their punishment. So Rabbeinu B'chai says this is talking about Yidden, Jews come back. Tzadikim and Rishayim. Goyim do not come back, period, ever. They're done. No Tchias HaMesim for Goyim. Only for Yidden. Rishayim too, but to get their punishment. Only Yidden. Okay. And then just finally, he mentions that the Kfuras Moshe, he says, was a nace in the sense that the earth opened up, Moshe walked in, and then it miraculously covered and he was hidden. Okay. Doesn't say a source where he got that from. I don't know. Maybe that's what he says. And that's it. Okay. We started this with Parshas, this Rabbeinu B'chai thing, Shir, from Parshas Kisisa, I believe. So we're going to continue next time, Bezos Hashem, with Bereshis.